Oh, God. This is our second try at this recording. I got a phone call, and I don't think I've figured out exactly how to recover from a phone call. Everything's going really well. Okay. Beautiful. So, I already have it rigged so that when I'm quiet, it just doesn't record. And that works pretty good. I've been thinking again about how people talk about the Civil War. And I have to say that I'm not really very interested in it, because actually the two sides, neither one of the two sides represent me particularly. My wonderful wife Lisa is a conservative. I am a classical liberal. And most people, when they hear, oh, you're a liberal, they'll say, oh, well, you're about this. I said, no, you're confused. I'm a classical liberal. If you want to know what that means, it's being a Jeffersonian liberal, the kind that he was, which is basically, God, how do you describe it? It's hard to say. Small government that really stays out of your affairs. That's really the biggest part about it. He was big on liberty, about trying to make it so you can have as much liberty as humanly possible, but still be able to live with your neighbors. And you kind of go, well, that's not liberal at all. And you go, yeah. The liberals stole the title from people like me and decided to create something completely different. Usually big government, intruding on everything that you do. You are a slave to whatever the dominant group calls the common good. And that's it, you know. You don't necessarily have a king, but it sure feels like you do. You're ruled over by, you know, it's just about as close to communism as you can get, but you still get to fly the U.S. flag and say how wonderful it is to be an American, and how everybody who wants more liberty and to be left alone is not a good American. And it's just crazy. It's actually the opposite of what the Founding Fathers were really all about. And I'm sorry to say that for the most part, if there is a civil war coming up, it's mostly going to be between leftists and rightists, which I'm neither one. I would just as soon be left alone, but neither one of those groups can tolerate leaving you alone. It just isn't going to, you know, it isn't going to make life much better. And, you know, it's just like, well, what kind of king do you want to have? Now, can I be honest? Because I'm kind of a liberty person. You know, some people say, oh, you're a libertarian. You know what? You know, it's almost like there are certain flavors of these things. I'm kind of a minarchist, which means I want the minimum government that we can do, but I still want a government. Because you need somebody to make appeals to if your neighbor or somebody powerful does something to you, you need to have some form of recourse. So that you don't have to change, they just have to not treat you like garbage. Anyway, so, I tell you, I am so, you know, and it's really sad because it's like, you know, we founded America to be a certain sort of a way, and then everybody wants it not to stop, really to stop being that way. I do have some hope for Donald Trump. He seems a small government. At least on some level, he has to go through the pain of trying to alter government from the way it is now to something demonstrably better. And I think he's really got kind of an old school liberty or liberal attitude about it, which is quite workable for me. So I do know that I'm a very dwindling group. Various groups feel oppressed by others and therefore want the government to do something to other people in ways that make them happy. Me personally, I just want to be left alone. I want as little government as possible because I want to be taxed as little as I can. And I know that there are tons of people that don't want that. They are not interested in that. That's why we're such a dwindling small group. And we hearken back to a time that's almost kind of silly. Given where we have gone as a country, to say, well, let's just go back to our founding. And people laugh and they go, that was silly. The American experiment was dumb. We want to have the same kind of interesting benefits from government. We want government to act in such and such a way, just like it does, and then they name someplace else. And the first thing you kind of want to say is, well, then I'm really confused. Why are you wanting to make us look like other countries? Why don't you just go to other countries? Can I be honest? Most of the people that really want more illiberal change, they couldn't talk another country into having them. That's why they have to change our country. You know, there's plenty of poor people who want more government benefits, and there's plenty of politicians that say, well, we could give you all those benefits if they'd allow us to steal more money from rich people. You know, the most fair thing to do is take all the rich people's money and turn that into services for poor people, thus rendering rich people kind of poor. Now, it says, and I guess it kind of works because everybody wants to get rich. You know? That's kind of, I don't know if that's the American dream exclusively, but it certainly is a lot of people's thing to say, you know, I want to have a really nice life. I want to have really nice stuff. I don't want to have to worry about where my next meal is going to come from, yada, yada, yada. The poor people say, well, I want the same thing, but I'm really not willing to work for it. Or I'm not willing to do what it takes to have that. That's probably more honest. There are plenty of people that work hard. I think the hardest work I've ever done is work that I did when I was poor. And, you know, and I also lived in a time and place where inflation wasn't too high, where the cost of living wasn't too bad, especially in the place where I was. It was a rather low cost of living. And more, that really doesn't matter. The neighborhood grocery store here is really expensive. If I go to a larger town with, quote, more competition, grocery prices get better. But the problem is everybody's grocery prices are going up no matter where they are. Mine's still so high that I thank goodness have resources sufficient that my wife goes to a different place entirely about almost 100 miles away to go shopping, and I keep asking if she's done the basic calculation, if it's worth it. With the gas money, now I don't think she has much of a concept of the wear and tear on the vehicle. and I don't want to get weird about that because I don't think you can really calculate that particularly. Well, I can't say much because I have to drive almost 100 miles to get to work. Commensurate, apparently, with my experience, stuff like that. People who need what I have and that I have what they need. Otherwise, I would be, I don't know, working a pretty menial job in my local town. Anyway, so I don't want anybody to feel bad. You know, everybody makes choices. When people say I don't have enough money to move, it's like, you know what? I bet you if you really wanted to, you could. I've been totally amazed. There was this one lady who, I'm sorry, was just absolutely destitute. She had no job. And she started making her way to another place where she wanted to be. She felt like it was better there. She was going to, I think, Vermont, and which is a heck of a long way from eastern New Mexico. Anyway, and she, I think she ultimately made it. I'm not sure. We kind of gave her a little kickstart launch. Somebody helped fix up her car to try to make it so she could use it. And then I think a handful of us gave her some extra money that we had so that she could get some fuel and get started. I don't know how far she ultimately got, but she's getting closer to her goal. And I mean, she didn't have a job, she was destitute, there was nothing. I don't think she was old enough to get Social Security yet. And the whole problem was, I don't know if she ever worked enough to qualify for Social Security. You actually have to earn enough points, I think it's 40 points. Most people work enough to get that, and then it's based on how much money, I don't know if it's based so much on how much money you made, but on how much money you put into the system. You know, if you really didn't make a lot of money and so they didn't take a lot of money out of your check, you're not going to get a really big Social Security check at the end of your life. It's not a poverty program particularly at all. Supposed to take care of you once you're done working at a certain age. They, when they first started it, they actually set the age 4 years above the standard life expectancy. It was 61, and you worked until you're 65. There's been some change. I keep hearing some rumblings. People keep sending up kind of, what do you call them, test balloons, test flags, to see if somebody you know, all of the talk is always, we need to raise the retirement age. You shouldn't be able to retire and get Social Security until you're in your 70s. I mean, just get Social Security. I was real fortunate. New Mexico State Education System has a retirement board, and I luckily started working for schools. It's really a blessing. I started working for schools quite early in my career, and I when weird kind of hard times started coming to our state, New Mexico, they started making changes to retirement. They made it so you would at least have to keep working another 5 years in order to get, quote, full retirement. Me personally, I'm just, you know, it's just like, you know what, I'm a terrible and lazy guy. I'll tell anybody who wants to know it. I started drawing that pension as soon as I was eligible for it. It actually has to do with age plus time in and how much money you made. And so I make about $23,000 a month. $2,300 a month, pardon me. $2,300 a month. That is, you know, my pension. And I'll have it until I die or until my wife dies. We got it set up so that it's kind of based on either one of us. The money will continue coming in until both of us are dead. Anyway, so even though I'm still working, you know, my only thing is while I'm taking that pension, I can't work in the education industry in New Mexico. I just can't do it. So that's okay because I've got other places where I can work. It's not like I'm a school teacher. A whole lot of people have to get jobs in another state, go and teach school in, like, say, Texas, for instance, and continue drawing their pension from New Mexico. As long as you're doing education outside of New Mexico, you're okay. Actually, you can do education inside New Mexico as long as it's private or it's not dealing with an organization that contributes to the retirement plan. So there's several opportunities you can take that make it somewhat worthwhile. Anyway, so, you know, and you're saying, well, you're not very Liberty Sword. Liberty Sword would have to work until the day they were dead. You go, only if you can't figure out something smarter. I'm not. I don't get ideologically crazy. You know, it's like, well, you'll take the pension. I go, well, yes. It was taken from my paycheck, and it was a, you know, it was one of the benefits that was offered to me. I could choose, well, you know, to be honest, you really could choose not to be in it. That's just the way New Mexico kind of is. It's kind of semi-socialistic here. And so far the pension hasn't been tied to Liberty yet. You know, to say, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, to do all this stuff. You've got to keep contributing to the education system somehow. Well, no. It's a straight work, and then you stop, and then they pay you money. Is it a lot of money? I said, no, it's not. So am I living the lifestyle I lived before? This is, can I be honest, I probably did. I probably do. We were putting back some money. Honestly, now, I think we're doing a lot better because we're actually trying to live off of that pension. My dear wife and I. And it works pretty well. Right now, I think we're just really close to being able to just live strictly off the pension for now. And so all the money I make now, quite a bit, we can put into other things. Now, that doesn't take into account all the expenses that I spend having to drive back and forth to my work, having to keep up vehicles, other kind of things. Things I would normally really economize on, the points where it's like, well, I don't go out and do anything. You know, I don't go on big long drives. I don't do big vacations. I don't do any of that stuff. And I never really did before. Lisa and I finally, for our 35th anniversary, we took a big trip. We went on a tour and we did Scotland and Ireland. And Lisa Jane really enjoyed that. I'm glad we did it then because now she's starting to have real knee problems and she hates getting up and moving around and because it hurts. And I'm not going to be surprised if one day Lisa becomes one of those people that goes around in one of those motorized carts at Walmart and goes shopping that way. I used to be kind of resentful of those people that they got such special treatment. But it's Walmart's thing to do. And, yeah, it may be the thing that my wife is going to have to do at some point. The sad part is that despite that, she's actually, I think, in pretty good health. Although, she's developed a gluten intolerance, she's developed a dairy intolerance. There's all kinds of things that she's just not being able to do. I really wanted to hopefully work out some of those things for her, to help her work out those things, so that she can have a little better life. You know? Am I selfish about it? Sort of. You know, I want to live with a happy person that isn't taken out by a whole bunch of problems all the time. That's not interesting to me. So, anyway, I'm not a big fan of socialism. Anytime I can avoid a socialistic circumstance, I do. And yeah, you could say, well, we should take your pension away. And you go, nope, sorry, I earned that. It isn't like somebody else is really paying for it. The group of us are doing it, of course. You know? Younger teachers are paying for people like me to get out of the way so that they can have better jobs. The system really was kind of designed to kind of give old teachers an incentive to get out of the industry to make way for new teachers. You have to understand, there are fewer kids now. We don't need more teachers. Anyway, you've got to give them something beyond just giving them, you know, because they already get summers off. If they make pretty good money and they're single, lots of them are, they can go and travel and relax, have fun, whatever they want to do for many, 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 many years built into the system. You always get the entire section all the time between Christmas and New Year's, with a few days around those things. You know, you always get that time off if you're teaching. If you're not teaching, well, you know, I was in support roles. I rarely taught. I only taught a couple of times. And so I usually worked at least a little bit during the break, because that was a really good time to take care of lots of needs. You know, I did the computers and the information infrastructure at universities mostly, some at schools. Anyway, so I enjoyed a lot of good work. Yeah. I did the work that I was supposed to do. Anyway, so you also have to understand that because we don't do liberty anymore, there are fewer alternate ways of doing things. Within liberty, you can do all kinds of stuff. You know, there used to be fraternal orders. And joining a fraternal order often gave you benefits. Some of those benefits included, you know, old age care. You know, back in the old days, the government didn't provide you a senior center or discounted meals, stuff like that. Your church or your fraternal order or some other group would do that. But the great part was it wasn't government. Nobody was forced to do it. If you decide to leave that order, you have to leave all the money behind that you gave to them and all the things you did for them. And you could walk on, but you also didn't ever get the benefits. The benefits were only for people who really stayed in, you know? And so when people say, well, you know, liberty is harsh and cruel and makes life miserable, and you go, well, that's because if you only think it, if you think that only government can provide for kind of a safety cushion, if you think that's true, then yeah, you wouldn't like liberty at all. Because liberty says you've got to keep working every day of your life. You can't plan ahead and get something ahead. Although, you know, you can. There's all kinds of interesting ways to take care of yourself. A lot of people don't bother now because the government kind of does that. Even though the government said Social Security was never designed to be your sole source of income. And everybody knows what happened. Most people treat it exactly that way. Then they complain and moan and groan that they don't get enough Social Security. And so, you know, when you can moan and groan in large numbers to legislators, they will make things go differently, even if it doesn't make any fiscal sense, even if it's really a bad policy. They'll still do it because it keeps a really vocal group of people that a lot of people really sympathize for. Keeps them from causing problems. And you go, yeah, it doesn't matter if somebody said, oh, yeah, you know, you never need to worry about a thing. Then all of a sudden came, you know, those guys said, well, medical costs are going up. And you go, and as soon as the government got involved in helping people with medical costs, especially the poor and the old, what happened to medical costs? They went through the roof. And it was all about lobbying government for which treatments, which drugs, which whatever else could be paid for by the government program. And now that you've got it, it's horrendous to make any changes to it, because then you start getting all screaming and yelling from people that you're supposed to be really respectful to. You're supposed to respect your elders. The only problem is we've turned a reasonably large proportion of elders into screaming, whining crybabies about the fact that they don't get more free stuff. And it's actually going to be that kind of thing that really ushers in stuff like universal basic income, which is also something that really can't work. The only way it even gets thought of as a possibility is because the United States prints money, and they're just not even taking into account the fact of how terrible inflation is going to get. Almost every single product that's needed to live is going to get so exorbitantly expensive that it doesn't matter how much money you give to everybody to try to help them get by. and said it's gonna warp and destroy your economy. And when you come back and say, well, I can't stop prices from going up. And you go, yeah. You go, you guys triggered it because you thought you were going to solve something. This was kind of an easy trick to try to satisfy your screaming, crybaby, I need more free stuff, people. Once you got old people hooked on this, all of us become old eventually, so there's little real incentive to do this a different way. Me personally, you throw that to the benevolent order of name any given animal that you want. These things used to exist in the old days, and they were there to take care of people, to help them out. And with the dues of new people coming in, knowing what would happen, they were okay with that. Until they all died out because government started doing it. And government can't be held in control. You can only do these things when you can really have really tight local control of things. When it becomes taxpayers, you get all kinds of people, especially people who say, well, we don't care. We want new benefits, like poor people and old people. And they end up being a big voting block because we don't take the vote away from poor people or old people. They can keep voting. Even if they can go out, they can say, yeah, let's increase all the taxes. Then I don't get charged because I'm poor, because I'm old. And you go, wow, this is bad. It's real bad. So, anyway. That was a rough thing. There was somebody wanting to put out there, you know, veterans, you know, people who had fought in foreign wars, veterans would get this nice tax break on their property taxes. I don't know if it got to the point to where some of them had to pay no property taxes at all. And you know, you have to understand, you get a decent enough number of people who don't have to pay taxes, they don't care if the taxes go up because it doesn't affect them. The whole concept of having skin in the game in situations of liberty, you're always going to have skin in the game. If there's a new tax, everybody gets hit with that tax. Everybody should get hit with that tax. So a percentage of this or that, or you know, the cost of fuel goes up to help pay for roads. And you go, everybody has to pay that. There isn't some special poor card that poor people put into the gas pump to tell it, I'm poor, therefore please don't charge me tax on this. Which anymore is a quite significant amount of how much you pay for gas. So, you know, it's just like that. It says, you know, how can you make this happen? And you go, oh, there's all kinds of ways. A lot of government exists to give privileges to some groups and to punish other groups. That's what always kind of happens when it comes to government. The bigger it is, the more finely detailed they can do this. What's another thing I could say? Wow. I don't know how much of my money gets taken out of taxes. Quite a bit. You know, and when I was young, I usually would get back a nice refund check, and I didn't have a lot of tax taken out of my income at all. And some people say that's fair. And you okay? So, you know, what am I going to do about it? What am I, one single guy, going to do about that situation? And you go, well, can I tell you, practically nothing. You know, and you can sit there and go, well, you know, we can all be honorable. And you go, yeah, go ahead and bring up honorable. And out of a group of 1,000 people, how many people are going to sit there and actually accept a harder row to hoe to be honorable? Since almost nobody does. When you really look at it, you know, there might be a handful who really do that. That was something really interesting. Our current president for the moment, Joe Biden, his party lost the election. He had said all along how noble and how good of a public servant he was. His son had done several things that were illegal. And they were just in the midst of trying to prosecute him for these things. And because he's the president, he could issue a pardon. Now, he issued a blanket, unconditional pardon for anything he ever did. And, wow. And everybody said, you know, this is the first time they've ever done this or that. On some level, presidents have issued pardons for certain prosecutions of certain people. Not wholesale. It doesn't matter what you did between this point and this point. You are totally pardoned for having done any of that. And it's like, wow, okay, I guess. Anyway, so now it's coming back at old Joe Biden for being this amazing civil servant that there were a few commentators who ever said, his face should be on Mount Rushmore, he's so wonderful. And you're going, I'm totally confused about what makes him that way. Anyway, now it's coming back, and it's like, well, he said he wouldn't pardon the son, and guess what he just did? He just did it. It's like, you guys could take back all that stuff about how he's the greatest president we've ever had, which is hilariously laughable. He was mostly a bookmark president, except for the places where he created new special interests. During his tenure, primarily, we have pretty much created the blessed class of the LGBT group, whatever it is. And a whole lot of things get to claim that it's LGBT. Pedophiles are starting to get kind of numbered among those, and there's certain groups who really want, you know, I just really like kids. I like playing sexual games with kids and stuff like that, And isn't that something that we should allow? That's a good thing. I'm not hurting anybody. And it was just a smidgen further than almost everybody could go. They could be excited about almost everything else, you know. Oh, adults should be able to change their gender. Of course, kids were doing it too. The schools got involved in it and said, oh, this is wonderful. Let's start doing this, and let's say that if parents are against it, we get to pretty much hide this fact from parents, and that we have we can do a special little role, and when kids come to school, they can be the opposite gender, and they can behave like that. We're very careful not to let parents know that's happening. And you're like, what? So, yeah, it became really obvious that schools have more power than parents tended to. And let me tell you, the video school board meetings, where the school board basically told, hauled parents out of meetings and sometimes had them sanctioned. I don't know if anybody got in prison, but I'm sure it happened on some level. To say, how dare you? Your children belong to us. And the community, hilarious, they get to decide what's this and what's that. And you're going, wow, who gave them the power? Then you start finding out that the federal government is supporting this stuff. You know? You get in on some FBI list, and the FBI comes and visits you to intimidate you to stop bothering the school and let the school do whatever it goodwill pleases. And you're going, what the heck is this? And it becomes this weird thing. How come government interests override everything else? How come that's so? And you're like, well, there it is. What can I tell you? That's what happened. So, anyway. Draw my lights. It's getting dark enough. Sun's behind the mesa. All right, so. You know, and all this stuff starts happening, and you go, is this really what anybody thought would happen when the Constitution was put together, when the Bill of Rights were assembled? Is this what they thought would happen? And boy, let me tell you, since I'm quite certain they would say no. They probably would have added a couple of more original amendments to make sure that individual families had a little more control over their lives in the face of a well-moneyed, well-armed, intrusive government, which is exactly what America has right now. More resources than God. And we've bred and raised up social justice warriors who take it upon themselves to take over people's lives. I'm trying to make a better world. And you go, you know what, you're going to have to find some other way to make this better world that you want. And to a large degree, it ends up being virtue signaling. They want to be treated better because they're better people. They want to hold down people that they think are counterproductive to this utopia that they hope for. Heck, a lot of them are getting to the point where they say, These people who aren't signed on with our program, they need to be killed. They need to get euthanized. They need to die and cease to exist. That's the only way we're going to get what we really need to get. And it's really kind of, it's sad. I really understand, on some level, their desire to create a utopia. Everybody has this weird feeling inside that they want things to be better and or easier and more. It's tricky to call it just because it really ends up being more equitable. Everybody gets basically the same thing. And it isn't fair that other people, you know, that people who go work hard or hustle or figure out an angle or any of these things, it isn't fair that they get more money than everybody else does. That's not right. It's like, sure it is. That's how most good things happen, is people figure out a way to make something happen, and they figure out a way to profit off of it. Can I tell you what my problem is? My problem is I'm lazy. I could probably do a whole lot more. I could probably hustle a lot harder and make a whole lot more money, but I'm simply lazy. I'm not interested in doing that. And I'm sure a good socialistic society could figure out that I'm not putting forth 85.6% of my available smarts, brains, muscles, all this stuff, and that they would force me to do things I wouldn't want to do. And I would definitely be one of those people that would be like, yeah, I'm going on strike. I'd rather just sit here and rot than serve you guys. And they go, well, you're a drag on society now, you know, because you're not willing to contribute all that you can to making life worthwhile. You're not doing it in behalf of 1,000 people who can't, you know. It's like, well, you know, and everybody thinks that we could probably solve this if we got really reliable measures of smart, capable, people's actual capacity and capability. I don't know how you're supposed to do that. Really don't. Anyway, if they could, they would do it. If they could, they would force everybody. It'd be a chain gang. We'd all be working for the man, except that a few people, blessed people of some stature, would be able to politically make it so they wouldn't have to work as hard as you did. And you go, yes, so is it going to work? And you go, no, it would never work. I don't even care if they could do the measurements right. It still wouldn't work. People wouldn't do it. Unless you put a chip in their head and actually took away their free will. And so you could basically use them like animals, which is another thing that I think excites a lot of people, is the possibility of being able to do that, make some kind of super race that doesn't, you know. But let me tell you, smart people, well, powerful people, cunning is probably the better word, cunning people would figure out the ultimate way to game that system so that they wouldn't have to work as hard. They would work really hard to make it so that it was obvious to everybody that they shouldn't have to work so hard. That it isn't something that they need to be, you know, that they need to do, but they still need to reap significant benefits from it. There will always be some kind of weird lottery for that kind of thing. So yeah, does it work? No. Will it ever work? No. Will it ever be kind of almost a godlike thing? No. It says God does what God does, and He has big places set up for people who aren't going to really make it. So, when it essentially comes down to it, when you get to that place where you think you've got it all worked out, and you think you finally found a way so that people won't be lazy, so that people won't game systems, so that people won't do this and won't do that. It's a horrible, horrible, worse than a police state. And nobody likes it there. Nobody likes it there because you're constantly running around trying to make sure somebody doesn't try to kill you. And feel totally justified in doing so. This kind of stuff would wipe out the whole horror of murder or all the big things where we go, well, we're just never going to get that bad. You go, you just wait. You just wait. It says, we already have a certain group of people. They were even screaming it during the election cycle this time around. It's just finished. You know, that they said, there's a reasonably large group of people that we wouldn't feel bad at all about murdering. They don't deserve to live. And you're going, wow, we're going to have a lot more murders and a lot more people who defiantly stand up and go, I was doing the just thing. That person's horrible. They needed to die. They had resources that I took, and now they belong to me. And of course, their next door neighbor's going to kill them to get them and bleat the same justification for why they did it. And you go, well, this is really fun. Okay, I guess everybody's worthy of death now. It's fun. Huh. So anyway. I don't want to, you know, it gives me kind of exercise to talk about it. And so, yeah, does socialism work? No. How about anarchy? And you go, well, no. Anarchy really doesn't work either. It says, you want a government, but you want a small government that isn't really empowered to do all that much except just keep the barest minimum of order happening so that business can be done. You know, people, you know, enough so that if somebody's stealing from your company, you can stop them. You know, things like that. Basically taking care of the last five commandments, the Ten Commandments, which is mostly the commandments that have to do with how you treat your neighbor. And you have laws wrapped around those things. And that's it. If something else happens, they go, it's not fair. It says, let me tell you, if I could take, and my kids hated me for this, but I still preach today. If I could take the word fair out of our taxonomy, I think that would be one of the best improvements that could be made. It says you should teach your kids. There's no such thing as fair. It says quit asking for it and quit expecting it. What you should be able to expect is if some people are nice or generous or kind, and you want to be around those kinds of people, and you want to stay away from people who feel justified in being unkind, ungenerous. I would much rather have God's generosity than his fairness. Because I don't think, number one, I don't think God is fair. I think God does things so that his children don't get all pissed off at him. And he says, I told you this was the way it was going to be. And it's like, well, what about this and what about that? And what about this and that? And it's like, you know, I said, you can set up a government however you want to get you more than this. But you really don't want a government that gives you that that does much of anything that way. You want someplace so you can, you know, sue your neighbor if they damage you. You don't want to use that particularly often. You want a police force that basically catches criminals. This whole thing about police officers spending the majority of their time pulling over people for violating some speed limit is hilarious. Because it really doesn't, is that what police should be there for? Well, somebody might get hurt. You go, yeah. But it's not supposed to be about mice. That's also why I'm not a big fan of driving while intoxicated rules. I guess they figured out really reliable ways to figure out if you really are unable to drive, but to be honest, I don't think they really have. I think it's somewhat arbitrary. It says that also, if you can get yourself home in one piece and not hurt anybody, what gives a policeman the right to pull you over, probably in front of your own house, and take you to jail when you didn't hurt a soul, only for the potential you have to hurt somebody? I'm totally with, if you're driving a car and you're drunk and you run a little kid over, it's usually a problem because that little kid shouldn't have been in the street or something like that, or whatever. If somebody gets hurt through you being intoxicated and getting people hurt, it said, should they get you for manslaughter? Heck yeah! We already have laws to handle this situation. But they really wanted to make sure that nobody could, they were, you know, you can't tell if a lot of deaths go down with DWI stuff, or DUI, I guess is how they do it now. Well, under the influence of something. Or while impaired, which could be any number of things. They could blame it on almost everything. If something bad happened, they could just say, you were under some impediment. You weren't paying attention. And you go, yeah, I get charged with manslaughter. I spent several decades in prison for having killed somebody under circumstances. I don't understand why we have to have extra special laws that if they think you are having problems driving, and if they come and they smell alcohol in your breath or blow you a test, as they say, you're going to jail. As if you had, and let me tell you, some of the penalties for doing this are as bad as they would be if you would have actually killed somebody. Because they go, well, he just got lucky he didn't kill anybody, but we're going to prosecute him as if he did anyway. And you go, wow. So yes, I am not in favor of those kinds of laws. I don't care if they're on the books. If you have me on your jury, I will say nope. I am going to do whatever it takes to make sure that this doesn't happen. And let me tell you, does that get me off of juries fast? You go, yeah. I don't have to worry about it because I say I understand my rights under jury nullification. And they'll go, you're excused. And you're excused for the rest of your time because we do not want people like you. And you go, what? It says, if somebody really did something to somebody, I am totally okay with punishing them. It says, I'm just not going to punish somebody for something they really didn't do. Nobody got hurt. Did anybody die? Was anybody punished? Did anything bad happen to anybody? Except maybe this guy, and maybe not. He says, I don't see any point. If nothing bad happened, I don't think we should prosecute somebody for their potential for badness. That's where comes the whole thing of leftists saying, well, we need to get rid of people on the right because they are terrible people and they will let other people die. They would crucify Christ afresh if they could. And they would say he needs to die because you know, we're upset because he had the ability to heal the entire world and he didn't do it. And you're going, wow, that's rough. Anyway, so there's that. And yeah, and that's where all this stuff leads to. First, it starts out small, you know. Oh, everybody knows this is such a social horror that we have to punish these people really hard to make sure they're not even on the streets. We can't even let these kinds of people live. And you go, wow. That's what they'd really love to do with people who drink, except that they drink too, and they want that privilege to be able to drink, and they don't mind taking that chance that they drive home, and they don't get, you know, that nothing bad happens to them. Of course, these are people that basically have other people drive for them anyway, and so they can get as drunk and as sozzled as they like, and there's no real repercussions for any of it. You know, because it's like, oh, I wasn't driving. Well, you were partying in that thing, you said, so what? Anyway, so, there it is. Poor chauffeur with a whole bunch of drunk maniacs in their backyard. How exciting. So, I've just gotten home. I need to go ahead and turn this thing off. This is Cohen Meander. I think I'm going to call this Utopia. And leave it at that. Talk to you later. Bye.